Okay, it was kind of a wild week this week. Pastor Doug got ahold of me and talked with me and asked me if I would be willing to fill in for him as he's gone today. I told him, absolutely, not a problem. He said, well, it's really short notice. And I said, well, I think I'll be all right with it. I'll see what I can do. And that's what today's sermon's over, is basically be ready. Are you ready? You know, today's reading, I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy, but I want to pray first, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to give your word to your people, Lord. Father God, I ask that what I speak, Lord, comes only through you. Father, I thank you for the blessing that you've put upon my life and the calling that you've put upon my life, Lord. Because I want to do your work, Lord. I want to do it for you, Father, that you receive all the glory. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I called it Be Ready because in the reading today of 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of the Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in and out of season. You're to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So as we look into that, I was looking at that and I thought, be ready, okay. How many times in our life have we had things come up with us that we didn't know if we was ready for it yet or not? You know, maybe something happened to one of your kids or something, you had to rush them to the ER or something, but you had other things planned that had to get done. Were you ready? Did you have anybody else there that could fill in for you? You know? And I thought about this, you know, when Doug was asking me, and it was kind of neat because he said, do you want to do one of the sermons you just did last week? And I said, no, I'm fine. I got it. I got it already. We're good, you know. And I really like Doug. I think he's really awesome. But he just didn't know me yet, you know, because we're really new to y'all's church and everything. But he trusts me enough that he knew that I could handle this, that I can do it. And I was ready for it. You know, it took me a while, you know, of course, to set it down and look it up and look through things and see what it had to say and stuff. And it makes you nervous, you know, when you're not in the same atmosphere that you're normally in sometimes, you know. You get into different places and you don't know the people's faces and who the people are. And so it all kind of comes around and works out for you. I had a pastor once tell me that if you ever get up there in front of that pulpit there and you start praying and preaching and you feel nervous, he said, you're right where you need to be. Because he said, sometimes that's what you need. So, but as we go back up here into the word, we see that in chapter 2 there, verse 2, where it talks about the preach and the word, it says you're to be prepared. Be ready in any situation to speak the needed word, whether the correction or of rebuke, or of encouragement. Do we do those things when we, like, see something, an event or something that pops up, you know? I mean, you step in, you think, man, that person needs prayer. I need to give them prayer. I need to give them a word. I need to give them some encouragement because they feel like they're down. You know, I'd seen one on, I'll take this one. And we, there's this gal that is on Facebook, and she was telling the story, and I heard it, where she was talking about how she had had a stroke, and she was put into a wheelchair. She lost her husband, and things have just really gone wrong in her life. And she just can't understand why she can't do what she normally did. Well, it really touched my heart, because one day she'd said that she was without an air conditioner in this heat that we've had recently. And I said, man, that's just horrible. I mean, here's somebody who can't take care of themselves and go after stuff like that, you know? And the wife and I, we had had a problem last year with the AC. And we'd bought two little window units, stuck them in the trailer at each end, and just kept it cool as we could till we could afford the new unit, you know, and put it in. Didn't think nothing of it. We packaged them back up in the boxes, stuck them out in the garage. Well, this came on, and I thought, wow, be ready. There you go. You got to be ready. God's calling. You need to do this, you know, because in the bottom of this, doesn't he say, do your work as an evangelist? That's my calling on my life, an evangelist. I'm learning how to do it. It takes me a while, but I also know that I'm really strong at this whenever I'm out in the street. If you see me in Walmart, I'm usually talking to somebody about God. You know, if I'm out on the street and I see somebody walking down the street and they look like they're down, I'll talk with them. You know, I'll see if I can encourage them and build them up. But however, long story short, I went ahead and made the decision that we're going to give this lady one of those air conditioners. I don't need them both. I'll go ahead and give her one. So we loaded it up, got her address, took it to her, dropped it off. And then I left. Well, when I dropped it off, it didn't seem like the son really wanted me to come in the house and meet mom or anything. You know, I didn't really push the matter. I just said, here's this, I'm leaving, you know, and away I went. Well, she'd text back later and she said, I wished I could have met you. She said, it's really awesome. The AC's in my window and I'm very cool now. This is awesome. You know, and then she'd said that she thought there ought to be more people like us out there. So, you know, it made me feel really good. I thought it was pretty awesome that you could do something like that for somebody and they really appreciate it. Because I just feel like in my life that for me, everything changed for me when they told me that I was going to be an evangelist, because I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what my job was. I don't know how many people understand about prophecy and stuff, but a prophet had come to me and he spoke to me and he said, you talk to God a lot on your lawnmower, don't you? And I thought, yeah, how do you know? You know, I'm thinking, I don't get this. He goes, yeah, you talk to him and you pray and you sing songs and everything, don't you? And I go, my wife, and that's all I got out of my mouth was my wife. And he goes, don't even go there. He said, your wife doesn't know this. He said, you ain't even told her. And I thought, well, how does he know this stuff? You know, but he come right out and he pinpointed it. I mean, right on the money, and he was right, you know. And yes, I did, you know, and I still do, even to this day. If I'm out mowing, that to me is my comfort area. I can just go out and mow and nobody's bothering me, you know. But it was really amazing, because I thought, okay, I understand what that is, okay. And but he had told me during that time, he said, you're going to talk to people in the coffee shop. You're going to talk to people over at Walmart. You're going to talk to people in many different areas. You're going to talk to people that other people don't even want to talk to. There's been friends that I've had around that my wife's even asked me sometimes. She said, why are you friends with them? I don't know. It just feels like, you know, I've got to do what God asked me to do. Shortly after that, I come across another one that really got me. This lady showed up. She was a prophetess as well. She came in and she got all done with her sermon and she was leaving, and I was sitting towards the back. And she walked by and she stopped a minute, backed up and walked over and said, you. I'm like, who, me? She said, yeah, you. She says, I want you to know that before I started my ministry, she said, God, I asked God to help me read a man's heart. And I thought, I'm doomed. But she come out and she said, laid her hand up on my shoulder. She said, you have God's heart beating inside of you. That hit me. Hit me very hard. It changed my life. It made me feel like I had some of that agape love. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anything like that. The only thing in my life that I could tell you honestly that I hate, and that's cancer. But I felt that love that God tells us we're supposed to have for each other. And that we're supposed to reach out and we're supposed to do what we can for those people. Sometimes it's, I don't know, sometimes you know what you got to do when you're getting into this. Sometimes you don't have a clue. It just has to come to you, you know. But the Holy Spirit is so powerful because that's why God left him for us. It's the Holy Spirit to help guide us and help us and get us through these things. But as we go back in there to that part about in chapter or verse 2 that I was talking about, I want to step over and I want to read in Titus 1:9 right quick. And he says in 9, he says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So it's our job. Once we're in this situation, it's our job, you know. When the pastor leaves every Sunday and talks, he talks about how you're supposed to go out and make disciples. Do you really know what disciples are supposed to do? You know, each and every one of us weren't made to come to God's house, sit in the same seat 30-some years, and never do anything. Every day we are to be encouraged. We're to be doing more for God. We were in a house of, I guess you'd call it like, you know, the one church that we went to, it was a Spirit of the Lord church. It was an equipping center. So that's what you could say we're in. We're in an equipping center. We're being equipped to go out and do God's work from here. It's not just for us to say, oh, well, I had a good time, had a great service. This is wonderful. I'm all done. I'm ready for the next week. I can go. No, because that's going to go on all week long when you're around society. And it's amazing what we run into sometimes. And when it talks about the sound doctrine, it says you are to correct teaching in keeping with that of the apostles. And teaching is called sound, not only because it built up in the faith, but also because it protects against the corrupting, the influence of false teachers. Soundness of doctrine, faith, and speech is a basic concern in all pastoral letters. And Paul had a lot of these, and he'd been talked about it and stuff, and it showed in here that 8 times it was found nowhere else in Paul's doctrines after that, but 8 times. So it's really important, you know, when God brings you out a charge, basically he's giving you something that you have to do. You know, he's saying, we need to do this. We need to make sure we take care of this and do my work. Because he wants each of us to be able to reach out to his people. And over here in Ephesians, on the, let's see if I get that correct. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I got to go back to Titus 2:15. Okay, and these are pertain to chapter 3, for the time will come when the people will not put up with sound doctrine. It said, these then are the things that should teach, that I should teach. I'm the person that's the evangelist, right? I need to teach it, okay? I think each and every one of us should teach this. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And there's so many places out there where, you know, it's talking about how they're going to gather around in great numbers and teach to say what their itchy ears hear. So that tells me that some of the churches that you get into at times, and I don't want to dog down on anybody's church, but they sugarcoat it. They water it down. They want to make it look good and sound good because we don't want to lose the people. We don't want to lose the offerings. We, you know, whatever the case might be. It's not what it is, folks. This church does not have a drive-up window. I don't see one. You're just going to drive up and get your sermon and run down the road. You know, it just doesn't work like that. So, and it's just a shame that things are going to go that way. And I know that it's in the end times, you know, where God talks about that. You know, and so many people you'll see, I don't care where you look at, whether it's Facebook or what it is, you're going to see on there, boy, I'll sure be glad when it gets nicer out and it does better and people come around loving each other again. Got news for you, it's not happening. The only thing that's coming back is Jesus. And you have to be ready. You have to be ready. Because if you're not ready, folks, you're not going to go. You know, we took a trip before Mother's Day, a couple days before, we went on a trip down to Florida to my wife's mother's. She had cancer. That's the same thing that my mother passed away to. And we went down there, and the whole time, God spoke to me to talk to her. And I thought, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. I didn't know my mother-in-law that well. I hadn't really got to meet her much. But we got down there, and everything worked just like God wanted. He made it where we went outside and sit down and talk together, nobody else around. And she asked me, how come God hasn't come got me yet? Out it came. I said, God said that you're to be ready, be ready, be ready, and you're not ready. And I told her exactly what God told me to tell her about. And a week later, she went home with the Lord. So, you never know when you have to be ready. You know, I think that we all have to be ready all the time. And sometimes it's pretty hard to do things on the short notice like that. But for me to be able to come up here and do what I'm doing with what happened, it doesn't bother me much. I get emotional because, as I told Pastor Doug, I said, you know, ever since that deal happened with me, I've just got a heart for people. I got a heart for what I say. It has to come out of my heart because I don't want anyone to feel like they're attacked or belittled or less than somebody else. Every one of us are sinners. Every single one of us. And every single one of us struggle with trying to follow Christ and do what we're to do each and every day and just bless Him. And when it all started out this morning, they told me that we'd had somebody else that would come up here and they were going to speak and stuff and that I was only going to have the chance for a 20-minute service. I said, okay, I think I can make this happen. I'll try to get really winded and get it all in there in one shot, you know. Well, then things changed again. We didn't have that person here. So I was kind of stretching it out a little bit here to see what we had. But I didn't have much more than 20 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. But I can say that for me, God has changed my life in ways that I never thought He ever would. I accepted Christ as a young boy back in the 70s. And from that point on, it was kind of like we said in Sunday school this morning. Somebody had said the comment about, you know, you go in, you know, you get baptized, you get saved, you know, whatever. Y'all good. You're good. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Just go do what you do. That's what I did. And let me tell you, I got myself in trouble. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I was to do what God asked me to do. And then I had asked God, I told God, I knelt down and I said, Lord, if you'll still have me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And it's been nothing but an uphill road since. God's just blessed me and just took good care of me. I can't tell you how many times I've been through two major back surgeries where they went through both sides and put in titanium plates and screws. Said, you'll never work full time again. I said, okay, whatever. I went on, I had three neck surgeries. They went through and fused me in three different places. Said, you'll never work full time again. I looked at the doctor and I said, you don't serve the God I serve. My God is a healing God. I believe in it and I stand on it. I've seen things change. I have prayed over people and we've anointed them with oil like we've been told and done the things that we've been asked to do. And I've seen miracles. I've seen things happen too. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I really seek for each and every one of you guys to think about that. You know, if there's something really pending in your life, you know, when they talk back on that, and I'm going way off course from where I was at here, okay? But when they talk about a mountain in your life, don't look at that physical mountain there, okay? Just think of what is it in your life it is that you have right now in your life that's bothering you, that you just can't get over it. What is it? That's your mountain. That's what you deal with. That's where you put your faith. That's where you put your belief. And when people have come up, I've watched sometimes, you know, they'll come up, they'll get anointed with oil or whatever, and they'll get a prayer, and then they'll leave, and then they'll say, well, I don't understand why I did that, because nothing happened. Where was your faith? Where's your belief? Did you tell yourself, thank you, God, I believe in what you just did for me. I believe you, Lord. I know it's true. Or did you just say, just another one of them things where they talk their stuff? You know, it's very important that we take God's words seriously. And we have to understand that God sends us out to do his work. And sometimes it's not work that you want to be part of. You don't want to say, man, I don't understand why you called me to do this. You know, there was times I've been there already. And I think we've been in it now a little over 10 or 15 years, more like 10 years. And we've gone to different classes and things and learned a lot. And we've run into a lot of different folks. And, you know, it's just one of them things that when you get out there, it's okay to share your love of Jesus with other people, okay? And sometimes you're going to get folks that are going to say, I don't want to hear that stuff. I have family that does that. They said, I don't want to hear. Okay, your choice. Have a good day. And I'll walk on. I won't push it. It's just not what we do, you know? But I still pray for them. You know, I have two brothers that don't speak to me at all. I pray for them. My younger brother, he has a real bad anger, and it cost him his marriage and stuff and his walk with God because he quit going to church and he won't speak to anybody. But yet you got to pray for them. It's not my job to change them. It's just my job to pray over them and to talk to them. And I do want to say that, you know, that I am happy that we're at the church. You know, you guys are a lot of fun. You're good people. We love each and every one of you. And it's kind of hard to get to know people sometimes, you know, when you're around new folks, things that you're not comfortable with, you know. It's kind of hard to deal with. But once you get in there and you mingle, things get better. Things get better. But I just want to encourage you that that be ready is very important, that we have to be ready when Christ comes, because, you know, he says right in his word, no one knows when I'll be there. Nobody knows. You know, and I was going through my head this morning as we were in Sunday school listening to all the stuff that we were listening to on the deal. I just kept thinking, you know, they were talking about the gentleman in the white gown that's showing up in places across overseas. And I thought, maybe. I'm not going to deny it or say I know or I don't know. But I really believe that none of us know, that when he shows up, you will know. Because he said, every knee will bow. You know, and I just ask that each and every one of you be ready for Christ. You know, and if there's something that you need in your life today, feel free to come up and let's make it right. Let's get it right, okay? I thank you for the opportunity to get to be up here. It's really something. It's different. I've been at some churches, and sometimes it doesn't bother me at all. I just go in, boom, get her done. It's not a problem. I walk right back out, you know. But when I come in, I get a little nervous, just a little bit on that. But we'll get better at it. And I just want to go ahead and do prayer for dismissal. And if there's something in your life that's holding you back, that keeps you from being ready, let's get rid of it today, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we come into your house and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word and feel what you have for us, Lord. And Lord, we just ask right now that if there's any kind of sickness or health or anything going on, Lord, in their life, that they can just overcome it, Lord, because you're the chain breaker. You're the one, Lord, who changes our lives and just makes them fantastic. Lord, I just ask that if there's people in here today, Lord, that need that change, Father, bring them up. Lord, we just thank you for each and everything you've done, Lord. We thank you for the 4th of July and our freedom. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to read your Bible and just learn what you have for us to learn, Father. And as we go our way, Lord, we just ask that you would bless each and every one of them, Lord, and keep them safe and help them to return. We thank you, Father, in your blessed name. Amen.